for Parshas Tzav, we're going to open up to the following psukim here in Sefer Vayikra. If you have a chumash, you can open it up and see it inside. If not,
I'm putting a chumash.
If not, you have it here on the page, so that should be good enough. So we're looking in Perek Vav of Sefer Vayikra, and we're starting with pasuk Yud Beis. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, ze korban Aaron ubonav asher yakrivu Hashem. What are the korbanos that have to be brought by Aaron ubonav? Biyom himashach oso, on the day in which the Mishkan is dedicated. And the Torah goes on to speak about what's called Asiris Ha'efa, Soles Mincha Tamid. So please notice Asiris Ha'efa, this is a certain volume, and that has to be brought in what's called a Karban Mincha. What is the nature and the purpose of this Karban Mincha? So if you'll take a look, Rashi says that when it says Karban Aaron Ubanov, Aaron had the status of what kind of Kohen? Kohen Gadol. But Banov, they were regular Kohenim, what we call in the language of Chazal, a Kohen Hedyot. And Rashi points out that Af HaHedyotos Makrivim Asiris Haifa, that this Karban called a Minchas Chinuch, we'll see why it's called a Minchas Chinuch, and it's brought Asiris Haifa, is brought by every single Kohen, Biyom Shehem Mischanchim Lavod, on the very first day of their service in the Mishkan, and later on in the Migdash. Aval Kohen Gadol, so now Rashi's asking the question, but this same Pasuk says, Tamid. What does the word Tamid mean? Tamid doesn't mean once in a lifetime, it means continuously. And it says Baboker, meaning every day. Says Rashi, that's a reference to the Kohen Gadol. Shenemar, Minchas Tamid. In other words, the Kohen Gadol would bring this Karban on a daily basis. It's otherwise known by another name, Minchas Chavitim. Minchas Chavitim is based on Pasuk Yudalit Machvas, Chavitim Miloshem Machvas. And that's brought Asiris Haifa daily by whom? The Kohen Gadol, but by every other Kohen, a Kohen Hedyot, it's brought once in a lifetime, and that is on the day of Chanukas Avodah, the first day of his Avodah.
Which is the Fi Agorah.
Whenever he starts Avodah in the Migdash, you know, it doesn't matter exactly whether it's with a Goral or without a Goral. You know, during certain periods of time or certain specific Kavodos, you don't need a Goral for. But whatever it is, the first day that he puts on his Big Day Kahuna and he goes into the Migdash, that's what he brings this Karban, Asiris Eifa, which is called a Minchas Chinuch, because it's the Chinuch of his Avodah. And what I'd like to study with you today is an essay called Ma'amore Kodesh for Parshas Tzav. And my goal is, Emir Tzashem, to connect this with Purim. But that depends on how much time you have. So if you'll be here for a half hour, you'll just get the Parshas Tzav part of it. If you'll stay a little bit longer, you'll get the connection between Parshas Tzav, which is this week's Parsha, and Purim, which is coming up later on this week. For some people on Wednesday night, Thursday. For other people on Thursday night, Friday. For those who are in both places, maybe you have to celebrate 2 days. I don't know. In any event, if you take a look here in this Maimar, which is written here by the Tolna Rebbe, but there's a lot of deep, profound meanings here. He quotes Rashi on this Pasuk that we just saw. And then he asks the following question. The Torah itself is commanding us, I'm going to summarize this as we go along, but please follow in the text, on the mitzvah of Karban Mincha, the Minchas Chavitim. The Kohanim would bring this, if it was a Kohen Gadol, he would bring it daily, Bechol Yom, Minchas Chavitim. If it was a Kohen Hedyot, he would bring it once in a lifetime, Be'es Shenischanech Lavoda, when he started his Chinuch. So then, the question is, the Torah opens up this parasha with the words, Ze, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ze Karban Aaron Ubanav, Asher Yakrivu Hashem Biyom Himashach Oso. And it sounds like this karbon is divided up into two categories. It's Aaron, number one, and it's Bonav, number two. And that's what Rashi is addressing over here, that it is really two categories. Even though it's the identical karbon, but yet, in a sense, it serves two functions. In the case of a Kohen Hedjot, it's a karbon that he brings once in a lifetime. In the case of a Kohen Gadol, he's going to bring it every single day. And that's why it says, V'akoin ha-Mashiach takto mi-bonav yasel so-chok olam la-shem kolil takto. So everything is good. So far, Rashi is beautiful. He tells us why in the same pasuk the Torah introduces this karbon, minchas chavitim, as Aaron bonav, Aaron bechol yom, tamid, and bonav only biyom chanichasam. However, the question that we want to ask today is, why does the Torah command these two karbonos? How are they different? And why are they interrelated? Meaning, if they're two separate karbonos, and they seem to be so radically different one from the other, why did the Torah integrate them into one parsha? Now, on a normal year, Parshas Tzav usually coincides, if you fast forward by a month, because now we're, in a sense, stalled off by Adar Sheni, it coincides with what we call Shabbos HaGadol. What is Shabbos HaGadol? The last Shabbos before Pesach, correct? And I was wondering, what is the meaning of calling this Shabbos HaGadol? You know, it's not longer than any other Shabbos. And he wants to suggest an interesting interpretation, and this you'll see on page Yud Aleph, of the word Gadol. He says, for example, you can describe a person by what he does. Let's say, for example, if a person is in construction, you can call them a builder. In Hebrew, that's called a banai. Or, for example, if a person sews garments, you call him a chayat. In other words, you define him as a tailor, so to speak, or describe him as a tailor because that's what he does. So, in other words, the name of a person really indicates what he does. And he suggests here that the name Gadol tells you what he does. What does he do? And here's the key phrase, Osei kol eis begidulo ha'atzmi. He's constantly raising and growing and developing himself. He's called a gadol because, not because as we understand that he reached a certain level and he achieved a certain station in life and a status, no. But because he doesn't stop. That's why we call a chacham a talmid chacham. He's always learning. So to a gadol is someone who's mosiv chachma bidavadas biyomav every day. He looks at yesterday and he says, look what I accomplished yesterday. Today I've got to accomplish more. That defines a gadol. That's why I suggest that if you go to a bris, they bless the child by saying Zeh HaKatan Gadol Yeh. And some say that Zeh HaKatan Gadol Yeh is a reference to the two Ma'oros, right? We have the Ma'or HaKatan and the Ma'or HaGadol. The Ma'or HaKatan is the Levana and the Ma'or HaGadol is the Chama. What's the difference between the two? So according to the astronomers, the light that is radiated by the moon is not its own light. It's reflective light. The original is the Chama. And that's why it's called the Ma'or HaGadol. Godless means originality. Godless means that you're constantly creating, you're constantly breaking new ground, you're constantly developing and advancing. Avram Avinu is therefore called, in the Lashon of the Medrash, HaGadol Sheba'anok. Amongst all the giants, Avram Avinu is called a Gadol. And the Medrash asks, why? Why is he such a Gadol? And if you take a look, the various Midrashim speak about Avram Zaken Ba Bayomim. What does it mean, Avram Zaken Ba Bayomim? Bechal Yom V'Yom, on every day. Haisa Etzlo Bechina Mechudeshes. Right, when you talk about a marriage relationship, it's got to be Gadol. Every day is something new. And for most people, that's true because you can never predict what she's going to do, what she's going to say. It's always b'chol yom v'yom, you be'necha kechadosh v'chidushim all the time. That's the godless. And lahavdil, that's the godless of Avram Avinu. Every day he's bringing more people to be miscarried to the borei. Every day he has a greater appreciation, understanding, a greater excitement in his shmiras, ha-mitzvos. He is the gadol sheba'anokim. And that's why we say Lecha Hashem HaGedula. That's a pasuk, I believe, in Divrei Hayomim. And the Gemara says in Brachos Lecha Hashem HaGedula is a reference to Maisa Breishis. Why Maisa Breishis? So of course you and I would say because the creation ex nihilo is such a great, amazing and mind-boggling feat. But no, it's even more than that. Because Chazal say that Mechadesh Bechol Yom Tamid, as we say in davening every day, there's an unbelievable Mechudosh and Mufladika creation that's going on continuously. That's why Hashem is called Gedula. He is the source of all Gedula. And therefore, the pasuk, the Navi, calls Breishis Gedula. Gedula means because it's constantly recreating itself. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, and here we're going to move on to page Yud Beis. Amar Rav Elazar, Shnei Talmidei Chacham, HaMechadedim Zed Zeh B'Halacha. Two scholars sit together, they learn B'Chavrusa, and they each sharpen each other up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lahem, and God gives them a blessing of success. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vaderach tzalach al tikri vaderach ella vechadadach," and that means that they're ole l'gedula. What does it mean? They're ole l'gedula. Two talmidei chacham that sharpen each other. Each one is ole l'gedula because when each one asks a question and challenges the other one, new chachma and das, new expansion and embellishment of knowledge and wisdom, mischadish b'chol rega v'rega, is going on at every moment continuously without stop. That's called gedula, and therefore we say with regard to talmidei chachamim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says and guarantees that there'll be ole l'gedula. That's why Chazal say o chavrusa o misus. If you don't have a chavrusa, that's not good. The Gemara tells us on Rabbi Yitzchak and Shabbos lo chav Yishlaim v'shvil shahushvu katan v'gadol. What does that mean? They equated a katan and a gadol. So you could say that was an insult to a gadol by comparing him to a katan. But the answer is much deeper than that. He says, why is such a terrible thing that the Churban Abayis was a result of this mashve gadol a katan? And he suggests the following pshat. Yesh lomar, you're on the left column of your base, about five lines down. Hushvu katan l'gol ha'nishe gam ha'gdolim atzmam hishvu es atzmam l'ketanim. It's not so much that the gdolim were insulted by the fact that the others compared them to ketanim, but it's more than that. They themselves saw themselves with their own eyes as ketanim. What does it mean? Dai hoyalahem bavodosam vigiosam shehishkiu viomlu adzmanze. You have people who start boasting about all the milestones in their life and all their achievements. You know, they wear on their shoulders all the badges. They'll tell you exactly what they did and what they served. They'll give you their entire resume until it's coming out of your ears. And why is that? Because they are ktanim. What does it mean, they're ktanim? They have no tremendous desire to be critical of what happened in the past and project themselves into the future, to be machadish new things in their avoda. They're like the ketanim. They say, you know what, whatever we did, we did. Whatever we accomplished, we accomplished. And that is a terrible, terrible evil. That's why the Gemara tells us in Erevim that one of the worst averas is hamora halacha b'fnei rabo. A student says, I'm going to paskin, I don't care about my Rebbe. And the Chazal say, Moridin oso migdulaso. He's no longer considered a gadol. We're looking on page Yud Gimel if you have it. And why is he forfeiting his status as a gadol? Because you know what? Shesover line 6. Shesover kvar lama daimi rabbi. I already soaked up. I absorbed enough from my Rebbe. And shuv ein rabo yochel echadish lo dvar alocha me'ata. Now the Rebbe can't be mechadish. And now there are situations, Rabbosai, where the Talmud exceeds beyond his Rebbe. There is such a reality. But the attitude of a Talmud should be not that my Rebbe can't teach me anything new. There's always more and more that he can guide me and he can give me more of his method, his derech halimud. And he can always climb from one level to the other level. And in fact, if a person is at a certain level, his Rebbe should encourage him to try to go to a higher level. And there should always be a sense of humility. He has to, if he takes the gall, the audacity, so to speak, of taking the reins in his hands, and he's going to be mora halacha, you know, he's going to paskin, he's going to decide, you know, when we can violate the Shabbos and when not. Then moridin also migdulasa, because he is showing, he's illustrating that he is not a chacham, he is not a gadol. A chacham or gadol is someone who's constantly desiring and striving to be more and more and more. And therefore, we can begin to understand and appreciate what it means in Chazal. And this you'll see on the bottom right column, going on to the top left. Vayehi ba'eis ha'hi vayered gedula vayered Yehuda meis achiv. Es mi'es och echav yirida ha'ilo sharidu migdulaso. He had terrible tragedies in his life because he went down from his godlus. Kol ha'maskil b'mitzvein ha'gomra bali deizu. After all, at the time of Mechiras Yosef, Yehuda could have played a major role. He began to tell them ma betza kinar genu, but at the end of the day, he didn't save them and prevent them as he could have impacted on them, and prevent them from selling Yosef. That's a person who begins a mitzvah but doesn't complete it. The concept of godless is connected with constancy. It's got to be without let up, to be mosif and go beyond and beyond, not to stop midway and say I had a great beginning and that's enough. No, we need good beginners and good enders. You know, in a marathon race, it's not enough to start the race with a jump, with a spurt. You have to come to the finish line. And now, Rav Osa, let's swing back to the question that we began here in Parshas Tzav. The mitzvah that's incumbent on a Kohen Gadol to bring the Minchas Chinuch daily for the rest of his life. Why is the Kohen called a Kohen Gadol? Again, we come back to this concept of a Gadol. A Gadol means that on every day he looks at the Avoda that's upcoming in this day, and it looks to him as if he was just appointed as the Kohen Gadol today. He's absolutely excited. That's called his Slavus. Mislight is called a fire or a brand, as if this was the very first day of his Avoda. It's not mitzvahs anoshim milumadel b'chol yom v'yom yubein efer kichadoshim. He has what's called in modern Hebrew a ra'ananut. Ra'ananut means a new, fresh, exciting attitude. He's energized. He's the Kohen Gadol. And how does this express itself in halacha? The answer is with the Minchas Chavitim. The Minchas Chavitim, otherwise called the Minchas Chinuch, which is brought by a Kohen Hedger on a daily basis, is brought by the Kohen Gadol on a daily basis, because every single day he's mischadesh u'misale miyom liyom. That's the excitement and the energy of a Kohen Gadol. And therefore, we understand very well that when you compare the Kohen Gadol to the other Kohanim, there's a vast sea, so to speak, an amazing a gap between the two. Because with regard to the Kohen Gadol, every day seems to him, appears to him to be the first day of his Avodah. And what he did until now, that's not sufficient. He's not happy with what he did because he knows how much more he can accomplish and how much more he can do. And therefore, we can begin to understand why is it that a Kohen who's not a Kohen Gadol is called a Kohen Hedger. That sounds like a little bit of a pejorative term. You know, could have called him a Stam Kohen, a regular Kohen, white Kohen Hedjot. Hedjot is sort of like a down, you know, a pejorative term. And the answer is because he could have become the Kohen Gadol. Every single Kohen has the potential to become a Kohen Gadol. Now at this point, Rabosa, we're going to put this Maimar on the side, if you will. And I'd like to talk to you about what we experienced yesterday. So in order to appreciate what we did yesterday, I want you to turn back to the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Yesterday, we began Sefer Vayikra, and that wasn't enough. As if that wasn't enough, we went through 7 kruim in Vayikra, and then we called up someone else to read another part of the Torah. What's that?
Zohar.
Exactly, Zohar. And what I'd like to think about is, based on this insight, in Parshas Tzav of the Kohen Gadol bringing the Minchas Chavitin, the Minchas Chinuch, every day in order to demonstrate his gavlus, that he wants the Mechadesh, new passion, new excitement every day, perhaps we can get an insight into the overlap between Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Zohar. So in order to do that, I'd like to read with you a few Rashis. First we'll read the Psukim. If you take a look in Vayikra Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, the Torah says, V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen eish al ha-Mizbeach. There's a mitzvah on a daily basis to light the fire on the Mizbeach. And who is commanded in this mitzvah? Is it unique and singular to the Kohen Gadol?
No,
it says B'nei Aaron. Every Kohen has a chelik in lighting the fire. Again, there may have been a little bit of a fire, but they had to expand the fire. And then the Torah tells us, if you fast forward a little bit to Pasuk Tes, V'hiktir ha-Kohen es ha-Kol ha-Mizbecha. Now, what I want to do with you is learn Rashi. First, we'll begin with Rashi in Pasuk Ches. You learned this already? Okay, good. So, be a chazor, that's also good. Rashi says, V'nosnu eish. Correct? Says Rashi, Afal pi. Sheha'esh yoredes min ha-shamayim mitzvah lohavi min ha-hedjot. There was an unbelievable miracle on a daily basis that the fire what do you say?
But
the fire that came down from the shamayim apparently would have been sufficient to light the fire, but the Torah wants to tell you not to sit back and think that because the Eish comes from Shamayim, therefore you're not obligated lahavim in a hedja. No, the Kohen has to light the fire as well. Then Rashi says, B'nei Aaron HaKohen, says Rashi, Kishahu B'kihuno, right? So what does it mean, HaKohen B'kihuno, meaning he, so to speak, becomes a Kohen, which you and I might have said he functions as a Kohen, but Rashi says no. What does it mean when it says, by the way, I just want to point out, in my Chumash there's a little bit of a mistake here. You don't have that mistake. But V'nosnu Eish, I have his Pasuk Ches. Again, you have his Pasuk Zayin, am I correct? Rashi V'nosnu Eish that we just read. Does it say Zayin?
Zayin, okay.
Zayin, okay. In my Chumash it says Ches. That's what threw me off here. I was following this printing mistake. It's really Pasuk Zayin. So let's go back to Pasuk Zayin. I apologize. V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen eish al ha-Mizbeach. Okay, so eish, the chiddush is that you need eish min ha-hedjot. And what's the chiddush of b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen? Rashi says, k'shehu b'kihuno. What does that mean? Hu b'kihuno? Hoyim ove b'bigdei Kohen hedjot? Avodoso psula. In other words, Rashi is splitting up a phrase in the Pasuk into two parts. It says, B'nei Aaron, that's a reference to whom?
Kohen.
All the Kohenim, right? Kohen Hedjot. And they had to bring the Eish. And then it says, Aaron HaKohen. So Rashi is bothered. If the bringing of the Eish applies to every Kohen, whether he's a Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedjot, why did the Torah have to add Aaron HaKohen? And he learns that Aaron HaKohen is a separate category here. And what is it coming to teach me? That im avad b'bigdei Kohen hedjot, if the Kohen Gadol were to wear the begadim of a Kohen hedjot, right? The Kohen hedjot had to wear four begadim, and the Kohen Gadol had to wear eight begadim. If the Kohen Gadol came in the four begadim of a Kohen hedjot, avodoso psula. Now the truth is that applies to every single avodah of the Kohen Gadol. Any avodah the Kohen Gadol does requires big day kashmona begadim. So why? It's very odd. When we come to Nesina Sa'esh, which is a mitzvah that's incumbent upon every Kohen, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us, this halacha, that a Kohen Gadol must be wearing his eight begadim. Why did the Torah choose that one avoto, which is common to every single Kohen as well as the Kohen Gadol, to teach us that the Kohen Gadol has to wear his eight begadim, otherwise his avoto is psula? And the plot gets thicker because if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi tells us that when it says that the Kohen, okay, Rashi says, okay, fine, that's something else, that's not for us now. But then Rashi says that, you see the word Ishe, this is in Pasuk Tes says, Ishe Reach Nichol Hashem. What does the word Ishe mean? Rashi says, Kishi Shechetenu, when he shechts the karmon, Ye Shochto L'Shem Esh. Now, what does that mean, L'Shem Esh? Now, the truth is that in the Gemara in Zvachim, the Gemara says that there are six different kavanos, intentions, that the Kohen has to have when he shechts a karmon. It has to be l'shem zevach, and it has to be l'shem zoveach, and it has to be l'shem Hashem, it has to be l'shem ishim, and l'shem zman, and so forth and so on. One of the various six categories is l'shem ishim, that it be brought and burnt on the mizbeach. For some reason, Rashi says that the word ishe here in Pasuk Tes is singularly isolating the kavana that the Kohen has to have l'shem ha'esh. What happened to the other five? Okay. So let's just summarize three questions. Question number one, why is it that the Torah emphasizes that despite the fact that the esh comes down, min ha'shamayim, nevertheless the hedgehog has to burn the fire? Number two, why is it that when the Torah wants to teach us that a Kohen Gadol's avoda must require eight begadim, nothing less than will do, and if the Kohen Gadol wears big day Kohen Hedgehog, the avoda is disqualified? Why did the Torah have to teach us that of all times with the halacha, the mitzvah of Eish? The halachas Eish was not a mitzvah incumbent on the Kohen Gadol at all. The Torah could have spoken about all the myriads of avodos that require Kohen Gadol. And thirdly, when the Torah wants to emphasize the kavana that the shechita has to have, amongst the six kavanos, which are listed in the Mishnah in Zvachim, the Torah emphasizes, singles out the isha l'shem ha'esh. So in order to understand this, and the connection between Parshas Vayikra and the reading of Parshas Zohar, we want to study a Medrash Chazal about the message that Mordechai sent to Esther through an emissary called Hasach, if you may remember him. You know, at that point already, you know, the Gzeira, the decree against the Jews was already public knowledge. So Hasach put himself to great danger by passing on messages from Mordechai to Esther.
Which is in the Bogodi.
Yeah, and the Chazal say that the language, which you'll see in Megillas Esther, read to you the Pasuk, that Hasach quoted in the name of Mordechai was a coded text. You have to be very careful to abridge it. What does the pasuk says? Vayagelo, after Mordechai told him, it says es kol asher karo ves parshas hakesef asher omar haman lishkol, etc. And the Medrash here emphasizes the word karo. Karo is a catchphrase or a secret code word. Here I would ask you to fast forward to the reading of yesterday in Parsha Zohar, which is at the end, of course, of Kitese. That's in Dvarim, Perek Chof Hei, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see if I'm right. Mm-hmm. Perek Chof Hei. And take a look in Pasuk Yud Ches. Exactly, Asher Karcha Baderach. The word Karo was meant to trigger off in Esther's mind the Asher Karcha Baderach, and Chazal say in the Medrash that the message that Mordechai sent to Esther was the following: we're having terrible problems with a decree that comes from the descendant of Amalek, about whom the Torah says, Asher Karcha Baderach. And this guy, Haman, is a grandson, is a descendant. His alt zeda is Agag, you know, Melech Amalek. So they all ask the question on this medrash. Wait a minute. Esther didn't know who Haman was. Haman would brag about his yichus. He would probably tell everyone that I stam from Malchus. My ancestors were the Amalekis that attacked the Jewish people. So why is it that when Mordechai wants to send a message to Esther, the message that he sends to her is Asher Karcha Baderach? And maybe, perhaps, what Mordechai was conveying to Esther is, you have to know your enemy. If you want to gather together the Jewish people and figure out a way of protecting the Jewish people and saving them from the Gzerah, the decree of Haman, you've got to know your enemy. What is it about Haman? What is it about Amalek that has the power to undermine the Jewish people? And Rashi tells us, what's Asher Karcha? If you have the pasuk there at the end of Kitetze, Rashi says that Dover Achaloshen Kar.
It became cold.
Cold, exactly. In Yiddish we say kalt.
Kalt the word.
Like, did you ever hear the phrase akalta litvak? Okay? So Rashi here is not in favor of akalta litvak. Kalkait is not a good thing. Why? Amalek would cool off the Jewish people and cool off the nations of the world vis-a-vis the Jewish people. And why? When the Jewish people got out of Mitzrayim and all the Nisim and then they experienced Yam Suf, they were considered like an ambatya rosachas, like a boiling hot bathtub. The Ein Kol Biri Yechol Leirei Betocha. The Jewish people were on fire, and no one could go near that fire. Ba Ben Blial comes this Amaleki, and he says, "Kafatz V'Yerod Letocha." He says, "I'm going to jump into this scolding, not scolding. How do you say it in English?
Yeah,
scolding hot bath. The Apish and Nichve. He's going to get a third degree burn. Who knows? But he doesn't care. The Iker is Hikro Lehem Bifnachem. He wants to cool it off." And this idea of cooling off the Jewish people, not only cooling off the nations of the world, so that now once Amalek punctured the balloon, hey, these guys are not such hot stuff because we can attack them, then all the nations will follow suit and attack us. Perhaps that's as far as the world is concerned, the nations of the world. That's the karcha, the hikra, the kar. But it even refers to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael themselves were an Ambat Yerosachas, and that too, Haman wanted to cool off. And basically, we know from Chazal, Gemara in Masechta Megillah, that why was it that the Jewish people deserved at that point in time, in Paras Madai, the decree of Laharog Lahashmid Laharog? And Chazal say Shekei Nenu Misu Doso Shel, the feast of Achashverosh, they had. Now wait a minute. The Jews checked out the kashrus, and what did they find?
Kosher.
It's God kosher. The king and his officers promised the Jewish people that the meat would be kosher, even the wine would be kosher. But that's not a place for a Jew to go. That party and that celebration of the feast of Achashverosh was immoral.
6 months.
It was drunkenness, and it was a lot worse than that. I don't want to go into detail here to talk about it. And the Jewish people went and they participated. You know why? Because sometimes the Jewish people are a little bit cooled off. They lose their enthusiasm and their dedication. They fall down in their level. They become a little bit laid back. And therefore, what Haman was able to do was, he was able to decree against the Jewish people because Haman represents that mid of Asher Kar, Chabadech of Kar. And the Jewish people, unfortunately, had fallen from that Ambatir Osachas. They took a laid-back position. I want to read to you something that Chazal say in the Medrash. The Medrash says, if I could just find it, yeah. It says, Leitz Take, that's a pasuk in Mishlei, Ze Amalek. Amalek is called a Letz. A Letz is translated into English as a scoffer. A Letz is someone who makes jokes, he's cynical about something. Chazal say that the only thing we're allowed to make Leitzonis on is Avodah Zarah. You know, you can make fun of Avodah Zarah. But the idea of Amalek is to make fun of anything that's serious. he scoffs as anything that's spiritual. Really, Amalek wants to destroy the Torah and the religion of the Jewish people. However, Haman made a cheshbon. You know, he said, look, the Jewish people still have a certain element of regesh, of feeling for the Torah and for its mitzvahs. You know what? I have a shortcut. I know the easiest way and the quickest way of getting rid of the Torah. And that is just simply larog lahashmid alavid, to destroy the Jewish nation. And why was Haman able to do that? Because Haman represents the midah of Asher Karach HaBaderech. And so, Mordechai sends a message to Esther, codified, that you know who's getting on top of us? You know who's putting us into mortal danger? It's the Asher Karach, it's the old time Amalekim. If you, Esther, want to save the Jewish people, somehow you have to come up with a plan to undermine the Asher Karach, to get rid of that Kalkite, and to deflect the Gzeirah from Klal Yisrael. So what does Esther do? Lech knosis kol ha-Yehudim, v'tsumo alai shlosha yomim, day and night not to eat. And the Gemara tells us in Masech the Megillah that those days coincided with Pesach. What was she thinking?
Wasn't the party on Pesach?
She had a plan. A Jew loves Pesach. The women folk, not so much. They get the chametz kudis. But for us, it's great. You know, we come to the Seder, and if you're not makbid on gebrach, see kenedlach. But it's much more profound than just kenedlach. It's the matzah, and it's the maror, and the charos, and all the mitzah laila, and at the time of the Migdash Karban Pesach. And the epitome, the culmination, is Haggadah. For 3 days, the Jews fasted. They couldn't come to a Seder and eat all the mitzvahs hayom. And probably they were too weak to recite the Haggadah. What happens to a Jew when he longs for a Seder and he cannot experience the joy of a Seder? It awakens him. It creates, it engenders a certain passion. I long for those days with great intense nostalgia. My father, may rest in peace, used to constantly remember his days back in Litha when he was a child, and what a Simchas Torah meant in his town, which was called Plisa, and what Yom Kippur meant in Plisa. That's how I was raised as a young child. Can imagine, my father left Plisa when he was 12 years old. He has bar mitzvah in New York City. But nevertheless, his whole life was one expression of those 12 years of his childhood in Litha. And by the way, Litha was poor and it was destitute. My grandparents lived in a log cabin, I think I told you once. Nothing.
Probably this size.
He could blow it and it would fall apart. We have two pictures that survived from Litha. One is a picture of the log cabin they lived in. Abraham Lincoln had it better in 1860. And the second picture is a picture of my father's grandfather, my grandmother's father, who had, you know, he was the Malamed in Shtut. He taught all the boys before they went off to Lubavitch. That was the big town, because they weren't able to go to Lubavitch in their younger years. So up to the age of 16, he would teach the highest class for the last 3 or 4 years and then ship them off to Lubavitch, to the Yeshiva Gedola, so to speak. This is what we have. You'll meet Jews today. Not too many. Unfortunately, that generation is sort of dying out. They're getting too old. But back when I was a child, we would meet Jews in the 40s, 50s, 60s who would boast and nostalgically reminisce. They weren't from. I mean, they would jangle coins in their pockets on Shabbos. And we didn't have an Erev at that time. And they would come to shul, but they remembered what it was like and what their parents and grandparents, how they celebrated a yontif, how they celebrated a seder, and they had a certain passion. And my father's job as the Rav was to try to ignite that fire. There was a little bit of an ember there. And so this is going on when Esther finally is successful in Uru Yeshena Mishnaskim, in waking up the Jewish people from their slumber. All of a sudden, like a lion, Ravatz Chari, they wake up with a certain excitement and a certain dedication. This, my friends, is going to save us from Amalek. Every mitzvah is meant to arouse within a person a certain excitement and enthusiasm. But you know what? Don't rely on the mitzvah. You have to do it yourself. You have to think and analyze and figure out a plan. What could I do to enthuse myself, to excite myself, to light that fire? It's true that the Eish came down min ha-shamayim, but the Torah wants to tell us, and dafka on Shabbos Parshas Zohar, that we have to light our own fire. It has nothing to do with the doors, by the way. We have to light the fire. And why? Because we have to figure out how to excite ourselves with passion. I see George was the only one who knew what I referred to because of my generation. And this is our avodo. Okay? And not only that, Rabosai, but if Esther's plan would succeed, then we have to go back to the parasha of Karbonos. Why is it that of all Karbonos, and there are six of them that are enumerated in Masechet Zevachim, it's Isha, it's the Eish on the Mizbeach. That's the Iker Kavano. The Eish means the fire, the brand. This is going to save us. This is going to guarantee us collectively as a nation and individually as each Yachid to survive, to redeem ourselves from the Gzeros of the Amalekim. This is what we need. The Amalekim represent the Sharkarcha Vaderech. We have to be the Eish. We have to be the fire. We have to light the fire ourselves. We cannot rely on the experience of the mitzvah. And therefore, Abosai, we begin to understand the difference between the Kohen Hedjot and the Kohen Gadol. What singles out the Kohen Gadol as unique? The answer is he brings the Minchas Chinuch, not once in a lifetime, but once a day, every day of his life continuously. He represents the passion, the Eish of enthusiasm. What I did yesterday, forget about that. Today is a new day. Today is challenging. And I want to utilize it and seize the opportunity to exploit it to its maximum. That's the Kohen Gadol. And therefore the Torah, when it wants to tell you that the Kohen Gadol has to wear Shmona Begadim, it tells it to you with regard to the Eish on the Mizbeach. You'll ask me, but wait a minute. The Eish on the Mizbeach is not a unique avoda that's incumbent upon the Kohen Gadol alone. Any Kohen Hedjah can bring the Eish. But the answer is, he's the leader. He is the paradigm. He has to teach us about how to light the fire. And he has to light the fire with Shmona Begadim. The Shmona Begadim indicate that he is the Kohen Gadol. If he wears the Kohen Hedjot, then the Begadim of the Kohen Hedjot, that he's giving up his unique role to be machadish, to be enthusiastic, and to rededicate himself on a daily basis to the avoda. And therefore, Avosai, all three questions are answered. Why did the Torah have to tell you Eish? Why did the Torah tell you that we have to light the fire? Don't rely on the fire upstairs. Why did the Torah, with the context of Eish, tell you that the Kohen Gadol must wear a Shmona Begadim? To teach us that the essence of a Jew has to be this passion for mitzvahs. The Mesillas Yesharim and Ramchal dedicates an entire chapter to this concept of having a slavus, having an excitement for mitzvahs, and Emir Tzashem, if we'll have that excitement, then when we read Parsha Zohar, and the Parsha promises us that Hashem, we together with Hashem will destroy Amalek, and why? Because there Asher Karcha Baderech, we will succeed. We will do tshuva. We will take every opportunity and with great enthusiasm and excitement dedicate ourselves to bring about the day in which, as Esther says, HaChodesh Hazeh, Asher Nefach Lohem Miyogon L'Simcha Me'evel Yontif, that this will come to pass speedily in our times. Amen. Kein Yiratzo.
Amen. I heard a good word.
Yeah, please.
Moshe, what is Moshe's name? How did Moshe get his name? Because it's a father said to me, Minamai Mishitihu. Right? So, but he had another name. So why did that name stick by him?
You know, as a piece on the Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, I have to show it to you.
So why did that name stick by him? Because the Mashmut of Moshe is Nimshoch. Moshiach. That's because his job was to be a Moshiach. And the same as Esther. So why didn't Why didn't we call her Hadassah? Why Esther? Why did Esther stay with that name? Because she kept the sword. Esther, closed,
concealed.
Concealed. Her job was to keep the what Mordechai told her.
Keep the secret, not reveal.
Keep the secret until this time, until she realized that she can't keep the secret anymore. She had to.
We have to be like the Kohen Gadol. Why is he called the Kohen Gadol? Because of the Eish of Gadlus, you know, that every day I'll build and I'll move forward and project myself to greater and greater heights. And some people are so complacent, they think, all right, you know, I achieved what I achieved. That's always the sakon of making a siyum. I'm about to make a siyum, Mr. Hashem, in the next few days. And, you know, a siyum is a great thing because it's an opportunity to thank Hashem for maintaining you to that milestone. But on the other hand, there's a little bit of a sakana danger to see him, because you shouldn't fall back on your laurels and say, look what I accomplished, and I don't have to go beyond that. But the answer is that if the siyum will project you further and say, well, look, this is what I was able to accomplish in the last number of years, how much can I do in the next couple of years? Mm-hmm. If I could move forward, if every day I realize today is the first day of the rest of my life and I have to use it to its maximum, that's what Godless is all about. So Zakot and Godel, yeah, that's our blessing for every single child that comes into the bris of Avram Avinu, to be a Godel like Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is called a Godel Shebanokim because he's Baba Yomim. Every day is calculated. And that will somehow counter and undermine the power of Amalek, the power of Asher Korach Baderech, and guarantee us that instead of being Nena Misudasa Shalosa Russia, to participate in such an immoral gathering, which we don't belong there, that's not where we can. Yeah, I don't know about, you can ask me exactly where B'chukoseyam Los Elechu applies. You know, theaters and sports activities and so forth and so on. I don't know. Every case has to be analyzed. But certainly, in the case of the feast of Achashverosh, that's not the place that we should be. When the Talmud Rebbe discusses this feast of Achashverosh, he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Ein Yisur below Avon. This is the principle of Midah Keneged Midah, that if Amalek, or in this case Haman, a descendant thereof, came to destroy the Jewish people, and he was so successful, it's Midah Keneged Midah. This punishment is for the sin of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Beis that we indicated before, Mipnei Ma, Nischaivu Son Eidem, Shal Yisrael Shabosu Ador, Chloya, Mipnei Shenenu, Misudasa, Shalosu Rosha, it should have been obvious to the Jews of Shushan, the atmosphere at such a feast in the palace of an immoral king of Persia would not be, to say the least, Altaris HaKodesh with a spirit of holiness. And yet they didn't feel, oh, it's inappropriate for them to attend. They were going to rely on these empty promises that the food and the drink would be kosher. They found that terrible. People look for a heter. But all this indicates that there was a tremendous lack of seriousness for the prohibitions of the Torah. They could easily come to transgress these prohibitions by attending the party. And this brought upon them the decree, the attack of Haman, the descendant of Amalek, who's the Letz, who desired nothing more than to make the Jews treat their Yiddishkeit coldly, lightly, flippantly. And Haman, from his perspective, saw that the Jews had fallen to this low level of willingly partaking in the feast of Achashverosh. But you know what? He noticed that the Jews still had this Rigshei Kodesh feelings for holiness. At this point, he decides the easiest way to totally extinguish the Jewish people, extinguish the fire of spirituality from their hearts, would simply have them killed. And that's where Esther had a plan, as the Gemara says in Megillah Tesvav, that the 3 days of fasting would overlap, coincide with Pesach, and her cheshbon, her calculation, her hope was that if they would miss out on these beloved mitzvahs of the Leil HaSeder, that would make them, in a sense, overwhelmed, overcome with longing, with nostalgia for the eating of the matzah. That would shake them to the core, and Baruch Hashem, her plan worked. And it ignited within the Jewish people a fire that melted that coldness that had overtaken them. This was the beginning of redemption. They began to serve Hashem with a bren, with an enthusiasm, with excitement, to undermine the forces of Amalek, and that brought about the Geula, and we hope for that in our times as well. I just want to point out to you that in the Maimer that we began with, from Amori Kodesh for Parshas Sav, we got to page Yudalid, and we spoke about the Kohen Gadol and his bringing on a daily basis the Milchas Chvitim. He says, "B'chol yom nidme bi'enov kilu hayom arishon bavodoso." Every day looked like to him the first day. Kol mashavet ad ato, until now, ato with an ayin, adayin lo higia lema sheyavod hayom, would not reach the level of his avod of today. Ukimachtsisa baboker ba'ei sa'or kach machtsisa ba'erev b'chinas choshech va'afela. In other words, if the choshech represents afela, the lack of islavus, the boker b'ei sa'or, that represents the islavus, the ischadshus, and that will never cease. Every day he, the Kohen Gadol, is dedicated and rededicated to chidush, to add and enhance and embellish and develop his avoda, and go beyond the avoda of yesterday. And that's why, if you take a look in Rav Sadia Gaon, when he mentions that kol yom asei tshuva, you should do tshuva on a daily basis. Al what? On she'emesh lo higil hadarga shel yom. Why didn't I reach tomorrow's madriga yesterday? And they say in the name of the Yudi HaKadosh that the reason why He was called a kadosh, is b'chol yom v'yom, every day his avoda was greater than it was the day before. It was almost like every day he was in the madriga of a katan shenola dami. It was as if he was misgayer every day. It was such a chiddush. He put in such effort and endless hitamtzut in order to make his avoda greater. That's the idea of the fire on the Mizbeach, the Eish. And that's what we mentioned before, that the Kohen Hedjet is called the Kohen Hedjet. And why is it? It sounds like a Lashon of Zilzil. He says in the name of the Kotzker, that the Kotzker says that every Kohen has the potential of adding and adding, of climbing and climbing in his Avodah, of getting higher and higher. And yet the Kohen Hedjet, he doesn't necessarily push himself and aspire to reach the mile of a Kohen Gadol. He's very shaket. He's very complacent. He's happy with where he is. Don't bother me. I don't want to be Mosif. I don't want to go higher and higher. Is alos. And therefore he deserves an appellation of a Kohen Hedjot. And perhaps, says the Mamore Kodesh, this might explain al derech Haderech HaDrush, the Machabre Rambam wonder, the Rambam Paskins in Perkei Mehilchus Klei HaMikdash, that Bayis Yilo, as far as the Kohen Gadol, he had to have a home that would be Muchan, that would be designated for him in the Mikdash. And that's called the Lishkas Kohen Gadol. And then the Rambam writes, Tif'arto Kvodashi Yoshev B'Mikdash Kol Hayom V'lo Yetze El Lebeso Bilvad. Again, his bias was in the Mikdash. So he would stand and dedicate himself the entire day to the Mikdash. And when he went home, after a day's work, he would remain within the confines of the Mikdash. Balayla, whenever he came back at night, via Beso Eino Zaz Misham, his house was there in Yerushalayim, close to the Beis HaMikdash, and he never left Yerushalayim. And where is the source for this Rambam? The Minchas Chinuch wants to write an amazing chiddush in the name of one of his own Talmidim, that where did the Rambam get this from? And he writes that the Kohen Gadol is called the Kohen Gadol Hashem Chidusho Be'avodoso. To you, the language of the Minchas Chinuch, he writes in the name of Talmidei Achorich Mevur Bekama Pa'ami Betosus B'Shem Yerushalmi Decholamevi Korban Afilu Eitzim Ulevona Ta'un Lina B'Yerushalayim. There's a halacha that you have to remain overnight in Yerushalayim. And came Kohen Gadol Yamakir B'Chol Yom Minchas Chavitim V'Boker Be'erev. And came Lo Hayochel Lotzeis Yerushalayim V'Lodur Chutz Yerushalayim V'Divrei Pi Chacham Chen. An amazing chiddush of a Talmud of the Minchas Chinuch. Since the Kohen Gadol brought on a daily basis his karba Minchas Chavitim, therefore he had an iser, he had a mitzvah of lina to remain in Yerushalayim on a daily basis. The truth is that on a Lamdisha level, yesh la'ayin b'dovra, we're not totally convinced that halachically this would absolutely justify the Rambam's conclusion that the law of Lina would apply to Kohen Gadol and Izazmi Sham Li'olam. And the reason for that is because if you take a look in Zvachim, when Tosis talks about the din of Lina, he seems to imply that din of Lina, which follows after Akrovas HaKarban, that's only if he leaves immediately after his Akrovas HaKarban, and he doesn't stick around and doesn't tally in Yerushalayim for even one night, then it looks like he's b'derech aroy, you know, he wants to go into Yerushalayim and go out of Yerushalayim. However, if he slept in Yerushalayim a night before he went to Yerushalayim, that's enough to remove any sort of chi of lina. He stayed here the night before, that's good enough, and he can leave after his akrava the following morning. And therefore the Kohen Gadol, even though he brings a korban every day, but he doesn't have to remain overnight in Yerushalayim because he was there yesterday and he slept over in Yerushalayim the day before. But perhaps in Drush at least you could say that based on this Minchas Chinuch, we could say about a Dora Nifla something amazing about the laws of a Kohen Gadol, and that is that the Kohen Gadol is considered and called by this name because of his chidush in avoda b'chol yom. As we said, every day the Kohen Gadol is a new person. He views himself as if today he was appointed to be a Kohen Gadol, and therefore he doesn't go out of Yerushalayim, because if the very essence of the Kohen Gadol is to add as if he began his avoda today, and he has to embellish and enhance his chachma bina v'das, then eino zaz mi beiso li'olam, because li'olam eino mesayim avodasa, he's never complete with his avoda. Tomid hu mamshich be'avodasa b'shachba v'kumo. The Minchas Chavitin is not the reason why he stays in Yerushalayim. Minchas Chinuch is more of a Simon Ledover, not a Simon Ledover. The Simon Ledover, that he, in his essence, the Kohen Gadol, is always involved in the Avoda. He uses every moment and exploits every time zone in order to be Mosif Umechadesh Bavodasa. B'chol Rega Ugodel Umamshich Ligdol Ulahosif Das Vechochma Beinyan Avodoso. Is therefore, it makes sense, since he's constantly involved and dedicated exclusively to growing and to adding and embellishing and climbing higher and higher in his ascension, therefore Eino Zaz Misham Li'olam, he never completes his avoda. His avoda is ongoing, is continuous, with that great enthusiasm, with that great brand, that fire, which expresses itself in the daily obligation to bring the Minchas Chavita, the Minchas Chinuch. And in that sense, we go back to the beginning of Parshas Tzav, where we saw that the Torah combines in one pasuk these two korbanos, the Minchas Chinuch of the Kohen Hedjo, together with the daily Minchas Chinuch of the Kohen Agadol. Why are these two radically different chiyuvei korban brought together in the same breath, in the same verse? The answer is because it's really one and the same. What the Bnei Aaron do once in a lifetime to be mechanic themselves is what the Kohen Gadol does identically. Bechol Yom, he brings that same korban, but not just in terms of the physical makeup of the korban, but rather in its conceptual and symbolic meaning. Existentially, every day is for the Kohen Gadol like the day of Chinuch of the Kohen Hedjot. Every day for the Kohen Gadol is Machadish Umosiv Gedula Chachma Vedas Bafudoso. Every day the Kohen Gadol is Bechinas a Kohen Hedjot who begins his avoda for the first time, and that's why he's called Gadol. Me'echav Gadol is the description that's appropriate for someone who, on an ongoing basis, without any let up and any falling back and complacency, is always dedicated enthusiastically and rededicated with excitement and passion to grow, to be mechadesh, to be mosif. And this, my friends, is the avoda of every Jew. And Amir Tzashem, if we succeed and we bring the Eish of our own the Eish that each individual creates in order to engender and intensify his enthusiasm, his love, his dedication to Hashem, that will protect him and protect his family and protect the Klal Yisrael. But moreover, it will bring about the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, the Karbanos, and the Ishei Hashem, the Eish Tamid, and the Kohen Gadol. And that will be our Hatzolah, our Yeshua, at the time of Bias Goel, Yemei Simcha U'Mishteh, B'mheirav Yemeinu Ken Yiratzon. Amen.